You can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on our jobs. Our jobs. We have jobs. According to the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, it says, "For we are what? Laborers." That means we have jobs. It's hard to be a laborer if you don't have a job. We are laborers together with who?
God.
God. We are laborers together with God. That's a good working partner to have. For ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. The word husbandry refers to the care and breeding of animals or crops. Okay, so we are what God cultivates, right? We are what God works with. And we are laborers with God. It means that God has a job and we have a job, right? If you compare it to the agricultural reference used here, the farmer's job isn't the same as the horses or the cattle's. They each have a job. If the farmer wasn't there, then the horses wouldn't plow the fields by themselves, right? And if the horses weren't there, the farmer would have a heck of a time getting those fields plowed. So they each have a job, and it's important. Go to John chapter 6, verse 28. The Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 28. So we can't get burnt out or discouraged trying to do a job that's not ours, right? The farmer has a job, the cattle has a job. The cattle can't do the farmer's job. The cattle get very frustrated trying to guide the horses around, I'm sure, if it even knew how. So we can't get burnt out or frustrated trying to do a job that's not ours. John chapter 6, verse 28 says, "Then said they unto him," speaking to Jesus Christ, "what shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." So our primary responsibility is to believe God and his word. And the prerequisite to being able to believe God's word is to read it, to know what it says, to know what God's word says, what it is. So our primary job is to believe that word. And we can't do that if we don't know what it is. That makes sense. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. So our job begins with understanding God's word and then believing it. That's how we work the works of God. We can't do our jobs if we don't know what it is. So step one, find out what it is. It's pretty simple. Somebody said, "Here, do this job," and you had no idea what it was. You need the instructions for it. You need training. The first day I showed up to my job, they didn't sit me in front of a computer and said, "Go to town, figure it out." They showed me how to do it. They trained me how to do it. I had to learn what everything did. And it's the same thing. We have to learn what the Word of God says. Hebrews 4, verse 2. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." Two groups, us and them. "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with" what? "Believing in them that heard it." So the word can be preached unto all kinds of people, but it doesn't profit anyone unless it's mixed with believing. It has to be mixed with believing. There were groups of people who heard the word, and there were groups of people who did not hear or also heard the word and didn't believe it. And to them, it wasn't of any profit. Didn't do them any good. Verse 9. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So there's a rest that's available, and we get that rest by ceasing to do our own thing, by ceasing to try to do what we want to do. That's where the rest comes from. Verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, let us work, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of what? Of unbelief, just like those other people who didn't believe the word. That's the example it's talking about. We don't want to fall after that example. We want to believe the word. We want to do what God's word says. We can hear the word and be like, ah, that's not for me. Or be like, yeah, that sounds great, and then just never do it. Right? Because believing takes action, walking out on it. But if we do it, then we cease doing what we want to do. We cease doing our own thing, and we do what God wants us to do. And that's where the rest comes in. Verse 12, this is why. For, because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Because the word of God is powerful. It's powerful. It's alive. And that's why we can have rest. We cease doing what we want, and we find rest because God's word is powerful. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. So that's our job, to figure out what the word of God says, and then to believe it. And there's a rest in that. And the rest that it talks about, it's between your earballs, right? It's in your mind. It brings peace. Brings a rest, a comfort to your life. It's not like a rest, like I'm going to go to sleep all the time, although that's nice. A little extra sleeping in can be a luxury. But the rest it's talking about is in our brains, in our hearts. It's that peace that we get when we do what God wants us to do. Proverbs 3:5. Says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy sleep. Thy comatose sleeping time. Thy paths. You know, the rest isn't just getting lazy and sleeping in. It's still doing God's word. But in all thy ways we acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. If he's directing our paths, then we have confidence and trust that what we're doing is the right thing to do. And there's rest in that. There's peace because we don't have to second guess ourselves, right? Where the turmoil comes from is wondering, am I doing the right thing? Is this the right thing I should be doing? You know, the uncertainty is where the unrest comes from. But if we are trusting God, then we're sure. Then we're certain. And then we have peace. We're like, I can do whatever I want to do with great peace because I know that it's what God wants me to do. He's directing my paths. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. So the question becomes, what's something that God wants us to do with the word that we believe? What's the next part of our job? Right? I got a promotion. I read the word. I understand the word. Believe the word. I now have peace in my life. Well, you get promotions, right? You do a good job, you get promotions. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we, having the same spirit of believing, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore what? Speak. That's right. Speak. If we believe it, then we should speak it. That's real simple. That's sort of the next step in our career as believers, our job. We believe God's word. We put it into practice, we see it work, well, let's tell somebody about it, right? What did it do for our lives? What about this peace that we have? What about this love that we've found? We should want to share that, right? We should want to tell somebody about it. I mean, we could be greedy and just keep it for ourselves, I suppose. But it don't cost anything. So we should speak. Go to Matthew 12:34. And this is what the Word of God says about speaking it, how it all works. This is the how-to. Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. They're evil people, and that's what's in their heart. How can they speak the good things? They can't, because what's in their heart is what they talk about. What's in their heart is what they'll speak, right? So if we put God's word in our heart, if we make it front and center, that's what we'll speak to, right? It'll be abundant in our heart, and that's what we'll talk about. Psalm 45:1 says something very similar in a prettier way, so I thought we'd read that too. Psalm 45:1. The Word of God is pretty sometimes. It really is. Psalm 45:1 says, my heart is indicting, and that's not with a C, it's not like an indictment. It means to write or to compose. My heart is writing or composing a good matter. His heart's bubbling up. It's like writing a good thing. It's like it's preparing it. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Wow. His tongue is a pen of a ready writer. Someone who's ready to write. He's just, you know, writing it all down. That's what it's like with our tongue, right? If it's in our hearts, we just blah, 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 speak the word. Put it out there. Keep talking about it. Keep sharing it. Keep telling everybody you know about it. Blah, 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 blah. Just like that. It's a ready writer. So what God's saying is what's in our heart, what's bubbling up in there is what we're going to talk about, right? So if we put the word on it, it makes it easier for us to talk about it. Go to 1 Peter 3:15. Because God needs us to talk about His Word. He needs us to share His Word. He put His Word in writing. That's the vehicle that He gets it to people through. But He depends upon us to share it. To tell other people about it. We are the babbling cattle of God's flock, if you will. Herd. I guess cattle are in a herd. Yeah, I called us all cows. So, 1 Peter 3:15. He needs us, is my point. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Do you know what sanctify means? That's right, set apart. Set a place apart in your heart for God. Carve out that little spot. Put God in there. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If you carve out that space in your heart for God, you will be ready to speak it. You will be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks. So you carve that out, you'll be ready to talk about it. That's what the Word of God says. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Okay, so we're the talking cows. So what's God's job, right? That's right. When you go home tonight, you tell all your friends what I learned in Bible fellowship today is we are talking cows. 1 Corinthians 3:6. That's our job. God can't do that part. He needs us to do that part. So what's God's job? 1 Corinthians 3:6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's God that gives the increase. It's God who does that. It's not us. It's God. To plant, to water, is a figure of speech here that means to speak God's word, to put it forth, right? I mean, everything in the Bible is related to what they did back then, which was mostly agriculture, but it's putting the seed out there. It's getting the word out. And then it's God who gives the increase, right? It's God who supplies the increase. If you've ever planted anything, like me, and attempted to get something to grow, some of those seeds don't grow up into anything. They don't. Unfortunately, many of mine never did. I'm not very good at it. But not all of them will. It's God who gives the increase, right? What he's trying to say is, you talk about it, but don't worry about who's going to believe it. Don't worry about who's going to believe it. You just talk about it. Because somebody will. Somebody will. And not everybody will. God is very clear on that in his word. Not everybody's going to accept his word, right? But the few who do, they grow the body, they bless everybody. It's a wonderful thing. Go to Psalm 78:41. God makes that very, very clear. That's why we can't get discouraged when it comes to talking about God and his word. God makes it very clear that not everybody will believe. And most people won't. So don't let that discourage you. We plant, we water, we speak the word. It's God's job to provide the increase, the ears to hear, the people that will believe. He's called them from before the foundations of the world. I didn't do that. Psalm 78:41. Yay! They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So that's an option too. God may be all-powerful. He may be the creator of the heavens and the earth. But you can limit his power in your life by turning away. So can anybody else. By not believing it. By not doing it. He has a job. We have a job. He needs us to do our part. That's why we're laborers together with God. With God. It's a cooperative effort. Right? It's a cooperative effort. And we can limit God by turning away. That's available too. And this is what happens when you do that. Mark 12:24. So there's going to be people who don't hear God's word, hear God's word and don't believe it. Right? That's their choice. They turn away and they limit the power of God in their lives. It's not our job to make the power of God in their life, right? That's not our job. That's their own personal walk. God will definitely work in their lives. His promises work for anybody who wants to believe, but they can't limit God. Mark 12:24. And Jesus answering said unto them, do you not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? So not knowing God and his word means not knowing his power, which leads to error. It's real simple. It's real simple. If I wanted to prepare a world-class dinner party for my loved ones, and I had a fellow laborer to help me out in this task, I could have the choice of Martha Stewart, the venerable Tom Hanks, or Henry Bolocko, a complete stranger. Who do I choose? I don't choose Henry, because I don't know Henry at all. I don't. Henry could, who knows what Henry will produce. Now, Tom Hanks, dude's a talented guy, but I don't really know if he's any good at dinner parties. So my choice would be Martha Stewart, because I know that she can do it. I have confidence in Martha's ability, right? So our fellow laborer is God. Do we have confidence in God's ability? Right? That's a good choice to be a fellow laborer with. I can choose to do it myself, or try to. I can choose to try to do it with somebody else, or I can be a fellow laborer with God, because I can have confidence in God, just like Martha Stewart. Mark 16, verse 20. Mark 16, verse 20. So we need to know God, right? Not knowing God, not knowing his word leads to error. So we need to know God, and then we've got power behind that. I know Martha Stewart's good at a dinner party. I pick her, right? The analogy should be the same with God. I know God and what is available through his word. I pick God. He'll be my fellow laborer. We'll get it done together. Mark 16, 20. This is what happens. And they went forth and preached everywhere. So they were doing their job, right? They believed God's word. They went out. They talked about it. The Lord working with them, fellow laborer, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So that's the result of all of it, right? We believe God's word. We hold it forth. We work together with God, and then God does his job. God does his job. He confirms that word with signs, miracles, and wonders. He does things that are supernatural and beyond abundant for us. That's his job. That's not me. That's God doing it. But we believe God's word. We speak it. We hold it forth. And then he does his part, right? So that's what I wanted to share.